I was raised in the Christian churches and Churches of Christ. And our movement, this movement has and had as its stated goal the restoration of the practices of the early church. And it was a well-intended goal. But I quickly learned that attempts such as this tend to be plagued by consistent inconsistency. Because we never could seem to agree on which particular practices of the early church to restore and which ones to totally ignore. And one of the ones that we chose to ignore was not an example of the early church or even an inference. It was a clear command that when Christians gather and see other Christians, they are to greet them with a holy kiss. And we had no idea what to do with this. It's like the story I heard of the young Bible major going off to Bible college, and he wants to have his life just guided by Scripture, and he wants a chapter and a verse to authorize anything that he does. Well, soon he meets a young girl that he finds very attractive, and he asks her out, and they go on a date. And he takes her back to the girls' dorm, and they're standing there on the front porch of the dorm, and he's just looking longingly into her eyes, and he desperately wants to give her a kiss, but he cannot find a scripture to authorize such an end to that date. So he just shakes her hand. And he takes her out the next week, and he does the exact same thing. And man, is he searching the scriptures, looking for authority to kiss this girl. And he thinks that he actually finds it in Romans 16, verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. But his Bible professor makes sure that he understands that that actually has nothing to do at all with dating. And so this goes on week after week until finally he takes her back one night after a date, and they're on the porch again, and he puts his hand out to shake her hand, and she just pushes him up against the wall and plants a kiss on him so deep and so long that he comes up for air gasping, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. And she said, Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You see, this command, and it is a command in Scripture to the early church, it was given by two different apostles. The apostle Paul uses this phrase three different times in Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 13. He says each time, greet one another with a holy kiss. And then he changes the wording just a little bit in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 26, and he says, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. And then Peter gives the same admonition in 1 Peter 5 verse 14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. You see, the first Christians made a big deal out of greeting other Christians. So why don't we? Now you might say, well, the holy kiss was a cultural practice. It was a cultural expression. Well, if we're going to do something like that, we would need to find the cultural equivalent. Okay, what is it? Because the principle is universal. Christians are to take seriously the way they welcome their brothers and sisters. Growing in anothering means welcoming the opportunity to welcome. And we are trying to grow in anothering, because Jesus told us the way that we will impact the world is if we another better than anyone else. And so we welcome the chance to welcome. Or to put it another way, write this down, anothering, anotherers welcome any chance they get to kiss the bride. Because they do not view greeting as a break in the worship. They view greeting as an act of worship. I remember hearing Rick Atchley tell a story of visiting Chile down in South America. And he said when they arrived, it was the middle of the week, and the local Christians learned that this group of American Christians had arrived. And even though it was not a night that they usually met, the word got out for all to gather and have a worship service to welcome their guests. And they were all to arrive at 7 o'clock, and being Americans, they were there a few minutes before 7, and there were just a couple of people there, because in Latin culture, that doesn't mean that's when everyone gets there. That means that's when the first people get there. And those couple people that were there walked toward Rick, and he said, and I realized that I was about to be kissed, because in that culture, the women greet with a kiss on the cheek, and the men, they don't greet each other with a kiss, he said, and he was very thankful for that. He said, after a few seconds, he had been kissed more than he had been kissed in his whole life. Well, then they started singing a song. And while they were singing the song, another family walked in. And after the song was over, they all stood up, got into a line so that they could kiss the new family that had come in. And then they sat down and sang some more songs, and some more people came in, and they would stop and they would kiss them. And it never dawned on them that they were breaking their worship to greet people, because they thought the greeting of the people was part of the worship. They could not fathom that you were so busy going through your order of worship that it would not stop to recognize that some of the brothers and sisters had actually joined you. So it took them about an hour to sing a few songs, and it kind of went sing and kiss, sing and kiss, sing and kiss. And then the preacher finally got up to preach, and he went on for about an hour. And then when it was all said and done, they all lined up and every single person said goodbye, kissing each other before they left. And he said, left. It was all about a 3-hour impromptu worship service experience. And Rick said that he was in a land that he had never been to before, with a people he had never known before, speaking a language he could not speak, but he said, I felt more welcome there than almost any place I have ever worshiped. Greeting is important because it communicates worth. No insignificant person has ever attended a church, but a lot of people have been made to feel that way. You have felt that way. You have known what it's like to go to a church and wonder if anyone even cares that you're there. In fact, research indicates that a person that visits a church decides in the first 12 minutes if they will come back or not. They haven't even heard the preacher. They haven't even heard any singing yet. They haven't made their minds up about whether I like this music or not. They've already concluded, though, does anyone here care that I'm here? And by the way, the research is very interesting. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the size of the church. A little church can be just as cold and unfriendly as a giant church. It has nothing to do with the size of the room. It has everything to do with the size of the hearts of the people in that room. You see, in other words, think greeting is significant because they think people are significant. Greeting is something they do because it is something they are. They are followers of the one who said, love one another. And so my hope is that you will want to be a greater greeter. I want to read a passage with you from the end of the book of Romans. And as we read this, you might be thinking, why would the Holy Spirit include these words? What a waste of space. But in fact, there is power in these words as we gain insight into what God wants the church to be. So start reading with me in Romans chapter 16, beginning in the first verse. It says this. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. Do you get the impression that Paul thinks greeting is important? And aren't you thankful you didn't read that list of names? And here is how you can be a greater greeter. First, we have to understand that welcoming means people are personally addressed. In 16 verses, Paul mentions 27 people by name. He includes 17 personal references or titles. Outstanding among the apostles. My dear friend, she's been a mother to me. You see, Paul knew these people. And this is a church he hasn't even been to yet. You cannot know God if you don't want to know people. Anotherers believe all Christians should be strangers in the world, but no Christian should be a stranger in church. Jim Baker was a televangelist that was convicted of fraud. He was sent to prison in the year 1989. He served about 6 years in prison, and by his own admission, he brought shame not just to his own name, but to the very name of Jesus. And when he did, most of the Christian world avoided him like he was a leper. But one family did not. The Billy Graham family. They came to see him in prison. And when he got out of prison, they made sure that he had a place to stay in and a car to drive. And the first Sunday out of prison, they came by his halfway house to pick him up and take him with them to church. And there he was, sitting in church, 07407-058, sitting next to Ruth Graham. Because he wasn't a number to Ruth, he was a brother. And he had a name. And he shared how they took him to their house after church for lunch that Sunday. And Ruth asked for his address, so he pulled out of his pocket an envelope, and she asked, well, where's your wallet? He said, well, this actually is my wallet. In prison, we're not allowed to have regular wallets. So she got up from the table and went back into a bedroom. She came back, and she said, here, have Billy's. He doesn't need it. And he found out that there was a place where he had a name. I think sometimes we underestimate how powerfully the Holy Spirit can use just a few moments when we intentionally communicate worth to another person. When you welcome anybody in the body of Christ, you welcome Jesus. And when you learn their name, you give honor to the name of Jesus. Greeting is not a break in the worship. It is worship. The second thing that we need to remember to be a greater greeter is that differences aren't stressed. You may not have noticed it, but there was stunning diversity in that list for a first century community. For example, 10 of those names are women. And this is at a time when women are hardly ever named. There was racial diversity, Jew and Gentile together. That never happened. There was socioeconomic diversity. Some of these Christians were so wealthy that they were able to hold an entire church in their own home. Some of them were slaves. Some of them had just gotten out of jail. And yet, 10 times, if you go back and you check those verses in Romans 16, 1 through 16, 10 times, Paul uses this phrase, in Christ. Paul's focus is not on their diversity. His focus is on their oneness in Jesus. It is the devil who tries to get us when we gather to focus on how different people are from me. You see, what's different about anotherers is that they're not hung up on differences. They care about others because Christ in others is all they care about. So let me ask you, when you come to church, do you ever look for somebody who is very obviously very different from you? Let me remind you that when God created you, He took a good look at you and He said, "That's all of that person I need. I don't need anyone else just like them." God thought that you were enough. So why does anyone else need to be just like you before you will love them? You see, anothering takes love to a different place because anotherers are willing to love people in different places. That's what it means. Finally, love is tangibly expressed. Because you don't welcome people with a mat. You don't even welcome people with a card. You welcome people with a kiss. In our culture, frankly, that is difficult. But the principle remains the same. You find a tangible way to communicate worth and affection. And let me give you one very practical way that everyone here is capable of. Paul mentions it earlier in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. He says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." Did you notice how Paul followed his own advice? Outstanding among the apostles. Worked very hard in the Lord. Been a great help to me. What he is doing is he is verbally kissing these people. He is showing them honor. Paul never missed a chance to build somebody up. Paul would not have understood a culture that waited until somebody died before you would send them flowers. He would say, "Why don't you send them while they're alive so they can enjoy them?" Why don't you ask God to give you increased insight into how you can intentionally communicate worth to another Christian? You know what? You might want to start with your own family. I heard a sad story once. This was from a well-known minister, and this was before the days of texts, emails. But he got a letter from his father-in-law, who was a widower. And he had always been active in a church in a big city down in Texas. And in the letter, to his surprise, his father-in-law said, "I just wanted you to know from me that I've stopped attending my church. Now I go instead to AA meetings." Well, the minister's first thought was, AA meetings? I had no idea he had a problem with alcohol. But the letter went on to explain, now don't jump to conclusions. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't even drink. But I go there because I always feel so wanted when I go there. I just needed to find a place where I felt welcome again. Now here's my guess. My guess is that church where he went for years loved that old man. But they just never told him. They would see him sitting in the pew where he would always sit in the back, and they would always smile when they saw him. And then they looked back one week and he wasn't there, and no one had really known how long it had been since he hadn't been there. Because they cared, they just didn't care enough to say so. But anotherers do. So I'm about to give you a chance. Because we're in a war. And it is amazing to me what the Holy Spirit can do with just a few moments when some fellow soldier greets another soldier. I'm about to release you for a time of greeting. If you want, you can talk about the Cubs, you can talk about weather. But here's what's going to happen. Someone in this room, a miracle is going to take place for somebody. And somebody is going to receive a word, maybe a hug, an expression of love that's going to change their entire day today. Maybe their whole week. So remember, when you give honor to another person in Jesus' name, you're giving honor to Jesus. So just for a few moments, for these next few minutes, let's do what Christians do and let's worship God by greeting one another. Don't leave after you greet a few people. Stick around. We're going to sing some closing songs together. But I'd like you to stand up and I'd like you to go ahead and go greet some people today.